In 2015, all United Nations member states adopted the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, at the core of which are 17 Sustainable Development Goals and the principle of leave no one behind. The review mechanism for the SDGs encouraged member states to conduct state-led, voluntary, and regular reviews called the Voluntary National Reviews. And these reviews take place at the high-level political forum every year. The Voluntary National Reviews is a platform for countries to share their experiences, including successes, challenges, and lessons learned in implementing the SDGs. So, following the Voluntary National Reviews, a report of the reviews is produced, and this reflects the wealth of national experiences in implementing the SDGs. At the turn of the decade that we are dubbing the Decade of Action for the SDGs, how much of this planned action has taken stock of the progress, successes, and challenges of the last 4 years? This episode of the Dev Dispatch podcast is excited to bring you a review of the synthesis reports of the Voluntary National Reviews that took place in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. This is a pretty exciting episode because, as you know, 2020 is 10 years to the deadline for attaining the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. So the pressure is really on. If you check out the show notes, then you'll find a list of the 17 SDGs. But one thing that we know for sure is that the world is going to be a much, much better place if we really do achieve these goals by 2030. So let's get into the review. As you know, we are looking at all four of the Voluntary National Review reports that took place in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And the first thing is, so what are these Voluntary National Review synthesis reports and why are we reviewing them on the Dev Dispatch podcast? So essentially, the reports are a compilation of the highlights of the progress, the successes, and the challenges at national level reported by countries through their government representatives every year. And this happens at the high-level political forum that takes place every year. Following the review, United Nations Department for Economic and Social Affairs then produces these reports, which are called the VNR Synthesis Reports. Since the adoption of the SDGs in 2015, we have had four voluntary national reviews, and the reports of these are what we're reviewing today. Now, why are we reviewing it? We're going into the decade of action and acceleration. I'm sure we've seen that everywhere. It's important for us to be able to look back so that it informs what we want to do going forward. It's quite prudent, I would think, for us to look back and see what progress we have made in implementing these SDGs at country level so that it informs the programs and the decisions that we're going to make for the next 10 years. It is one thing for us to talk about acceleration and talk about more focused action, but focus on what? So, and the only way we can tell is if we go back to look at, okay, what have we done so far and what were the bottlenecks that we experienced in delivering in the last 4 years. So that's essentially why these reports are being reviewed on the podcast. The Voluntary National Review reports, now who are these for? Essentially, I think that they are for the entire global development stakeholders. So regardless of what sector you work in and regardless of where you fall in the global development value chain. So whether you're a decision maker, you're an implementer, you're a researcher, you're a communicator, a storyteller, you're an advocate, whatever it is, I think that there is content within these reports that will influence your work and which should influence your work and which should also guide the impact that you're trying to make with your work without being obvious. You know, you're looking at your government, you're looking at your development partners, you're looking at your civil society, you're looking at your private sector. I think that there is content in these publications for everybody. But surprisingly, there is a group of people who may not not be very well versed with these reports, but for whom I think will benefit greatly from going into these reports. And these are your sort of social innovators, your thinkers, your creatives, your ideas people. And the reason why I say this is because the report doesn't only capture the progress to date, but it also captures the challenges that governments are saying that they are facing in implementing programs and initiatives to achieve these goals. And for an innovator or, you know, an ideas person, this is more or less an opportunity to see how you can solve that problem. I don't think that they would be your most obvious audience, but I think that there's a lot of content in this report that is quite vital to them. Still on the subject of the report, like I said earlier, it's a really content-rich report, and looking at all four of them, it really gives you a sort of a trajectory of what countries are focusing on across all 17 SDGs and also what some of their roadblocks are. The report is quite structured in itself. The 2016 report is more of an outlier because obviously it's the first report. A lot of work had not been done to report per SDG, but with the subsequent reports, 2017, 18 and 19, there was a bit more of a structure of what the review expected countries to report on. So if you do pick up this report, some of the aspects that you would find is as follows. So first of all, there is a section that looks at the approaches that countries are taking to own the SDGs. Countries need to report on how they are incorporating the SDGs into their development plans, their strategies and their budgets. And then the second aspect that countries need to report on during the reviews is the institutional frameworks and arrangements for implementing the SDGs. So for example, which ministry is responsible for implementing and monitoring the SDGs, and what are the reporting lines within that ministry? Is there an office for the SDG that sits in the Prime Minister's office? So every country has a different arrangement. So countries need to sort of report on this when they are conducting the reviews. And then the third aspect is countries also need to address the principle of leave no one behind. And basically what the principle of leave no one behind picks out specific groups of society where countries are expected to focus on. You're looking at your refugees, your migrants, you're looking at children, you're looking at youth, you're looking at women and other minority groups. It tallies with the core principle of the SDGs, which is, yes, we have the 17 goals, but we need to focus on these groups of people, because if we do not pay them particular attention, then we would forget them. So in reporting, doing the voluntary national reviews, countries are supposed to report on what they're doing in particular to tackle the issues that are peculiar to these minority groups. So the Leave No One Behind section is an important section that runs across the report. Then the fourth section then obviously is what we are going to look at today, the progress that is reported on the SDGs. So each SDG has a section in the report, and then it captures what reviews have been provided by the different countries on each SDG, as well as the challenges. Now, the other section in the report that you would find is looking at what at national levels countries are doing in terms of monitoring for the SDGs and also providing the data that is needed for reporting on the SDGs. The section following that then looks at the coherence between the SDGs and regional and global frameworks. So, for example, if it was a report from an African country, it would look at how the SDG is being applied vis-a-vis the Agenda 2063, for example. And then the next section is that it requires countries to also report on the mechanisms for stakeholder engagement. So how are countries engaging in the private sector? How are they engaging citizenry through CSOs? How are they engaging NGOs? So all of that also needs to be reported. So that's also captured in the report. And then there is also a section that looks like how countries are raising awareness within their country on the SDGs. So on what they're doing on the SDGs, on who is involved in the process of attaining these 17 goals. And the last section looks at the means of implementation of the SDGs. So countries need to report on both financial and non-financial resources that they have put forward for the implementation of the SDGs. So this is basically how the reports are structured, each of them, depending, if you're listening today, depending on what it is that's of interest to you, you can basically go into a report and just look at those sections. But for the purpose of this review today, it's going to focus primarily on the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and it's going to highlight the progress that countries have reported during the voluntary national reviews that they have participated in, and the progress that they have registered, the challenges that they have registered, and also the sharing of knowledge around what countries are doing individually to attain these goals. And the review would also focus on countries on the African continent that have participated in the voluntary national reviews. So talking about the continent, since 2016, 35 African countries have participated in the VNRs. Now, there are 54 countries, so we're about 65% sort of. It's not the greatest, but it's not bad either. I feel like ideally, in the last 4 years, at least each country should have at least participated in one voluntary national review. But you know, our circumstances are all different. So at the moment, 35 African countries have participated, but the trend has really grown over the years. So in 2016, we had 6 African countries participate. In 2017, we had 7. In 2018, we grew to 10. And last year, 2019, we had 16 African countries that participated. Now you have outliers like countries like Togo who have participated 3 times. So 16, 18 and 19. And then you have countries like Egypt and Benin who've also participated twice. So in 2016 and 2018. So, I mean, the hope is that as we go into the next cycle of the voluntary national reviews, more countries will participate in the national reviews. There is potential in countries coming up to share their experiences and also to learn what other countries are doing, because the voluntary national reviews covers the entire envelope of member states of the United Nations. So you have your developed countries and your developing countries. So the possibility of knowledge sharing is wild. That's what the kids say these days. The possibility is wild. So that's what we're going to look at for this review. We're going to start from goal 1, which is no poverty. Under no poverty, we've had a couple of countries report on the progress that they've made in attaining that goal in their individual countries. But one of the important things to note here is a couple of countries have reported how cross-cutting this goal is, because work that is being done to attain different goals does directly impact goal 1 of no poverty. And so, for example, Egypt, doing their review, reported that the work that they're doing with developing informal markets and creating job opportunities in the slums, in as much as it's responding to goal 11 on the sustainable cities and communities, it is also pulling people out of poverty. So it is more or less directly linked to this goal. But directly reporting on the initiatives to attain no poverty, you have countries like Kenya that have adopted a national social security safety net program that is improving the well-being of vulnerable groups. And you have Nigeria that's reported on its social investment program. Benin launched a pilot project on social safety nets. And in Algeria, they are implementing a national social protection policy. Now, Ghana, in its review, is implementing 11 social protection programs across the country. That includes things like increasing access to conditional cash transfers and access to employment, cash earning opportunities for the rural poor. Now, Tunisia on its own is also implementing a multi-sectorial social policy as well. Now, a different approach for a country like Eswatini in attaining goal 1, which is no poverty, is it reported on its youth fund for entrepreneurship. South Africa is looking at a human capital investment and addressing education education across intergenerational lines. And you have Lesotho that is implementing a program on child protection. And you have a country like Mauritania that is more looking at restructuring its rural economic sector for agriculture. Now, so those are some of the progress that the countries reported in their review for Goal 1 across the last four cycles of the VNRs. And some of the challenges that were highlighted is obviously the huge dependence on government assistance for this program. In Eswatini, there was a challenge of dissemination of information on development programs. So basically, the government is not able to capture what development programs are going on in the country. So this is sort of a donor coordination issue, which is really easily resolved. And then there are also other issues like, you know, fiscal challenges, like limits with budget allocation for poverty and things like that. So that's goal one, which is looking at ending poverty. Goal two is looking at zero hunger. And in Nigeria's review pointed out the training that it is conducting for over 500 agricultural extension workers that is looking at communicating on climate information to rural farmers. Togo is going through like a digital revolution in agriculture. And with this, farmers are able to receive direct subsidies via their mobile money transfer so that they can purchase farm inputs and fertilizers. Cote d'Ivoire and Eswatini are undertaking a zero hunger strategic review, and they did this in 2018. And then back to Cote d'Ivoire as well, it reported school canteen strategy in which it's providing hot meals to primary school students, and this is helping to fight malnutrition and also absenteeism from school. So you can see how this Cote d'Ivoire's zero hunger activity can also respond to goal four, which is quality education, because, you know, it's fighting absenteeism in schools. Now, going on to the challenges that countries have reported in attaining zero hunger, you're looking at challenges like, you know, low access to agricultural credit. You're looking at poor water management in countries like Burkina Faso. You're looking at limited financial resources as well as capacities of farmers. Cameroon reported challenges such as post-harvest losses and the need to improve the conservation and processing of agriculture and fishery products. Central African Republic noted that there's the issue that comes with the falling price of agricultural products, obviously the global decline in demand for agricultural products, as well as, you know, the advanced degradation of rural roads and widespread insecurity in the country. So that's that for goal two on zero hunger. We move on to goal three, which is good health and well-being. Zimbabwe reported in its review of the 5 cent health fund levy, which it gets for every dollar of airtime and mobile data in the country. And this is its initiative for mobilizing funds to purchase drugs and equipment for public hospitals and clinics. Now, Rwanda, as some of you may know, is one of the few African countries that met its health targets under the Millennium Development Goals. So because of that, issues like maternal mortality are really on the decline in Rwanda. And this is because the government really put in a lot of effort to build a very comprehensive health system. Mauritius is also following in that footstep, where it is providing primary, secondary and specialized health services through a couple of regional districts and some specialized hospitals in the country. And these services are free for the population. And Mauritius reported that 51.7% of the total registered doctors in the country are employed by the public service. Now, South Africa reported that it has the biggest antiretroviral treatment program in the world, and it covers about 4.5 million people. In Egypt, I bet you didn't know this, but they have reduced the prevalence of hepatitis C. And how did they do this? So the medication is now locally produced, which means that the prices are lower. So which means that they have reduced the prevalence of hepatitis C. Did you know that? No, you did not know that. Challenges, you know, they're still there. And most of the challenges that countries have reported on trying to achieve good health and well-being as SDG 3 is obviously a growing and aging population. There is a decrease in the quality of health services that is available. There are implications that are coming out of climate change and natural disasters. There are, you know, the gap between the number of medical and healthcare personnel in urban areas and rural areas. And there's, you know, the lack of skilled health personnel and all of that. So these are some of the challenges that countries are facing in attaining that goal. So moving on to goal 4, which is quality education. Zimbabwe reported that secondary school attendance is on the rise in the country. In Nigeria, they have seen improvements in the access to girl child training. The country is working with Google's Digital Skills for Africa program, where they have been able to train 125,000 youths across the country. Egypt is seeing a steady increase on vocational education in the country. And quite interesting is Senegal, which reported percentage increase in participation of girls in vocational and technical training. So this increase has gone from 15% in 2015 to 52% in 2017. And the country reported that they attribute this to improvement in facilities and access to proper sanitation, as well as scholarships and prizes. And this brings me back to the point of how very much interlinked these SDGs are, because the work on access to proper sanitation, which directly responds to SDG 6, which is clean water and sanitation, now has ripple effect on the quality of education now, because obviously there is access to these facilities for girls, then they're more encouraged to want to go to school and get an education. Challenges still persist. So countries such as Kenya and Zimbabwe, you know, have talked about the challenge of financing of public education. Benin has also highlighted, you know, the challenge of preventing school dropouts. And that's it on quality education. Goal 5, which is gender equality. And quite a couple of interesting things going on in different countries around. I mean, the work is obviously being coordinated by ministries of women's affairs or gender equality commissions that different countries have put in place. Like Ethiopia, for example, has established an office that is guiding and implementing programs around women's issues. But quite interesting is what is happening in Rwanda, which the government reported during the review that it has institutionalized gender responsive budgeting program. And what this means is all budget agencies need to attach a gender budget statement in their annual submission to the Ministry of Finance and to the Parliament. And this in itself has meant that there's more financing that's available for programs that sort of create more equal opportunities for men and women in the country. And Namibia also reported that it's adopted a 50-50 representation policy in the country, especially for leadership positions. And it also reported that 43% of parliamentarians in the country are women. Now, challenges for implementing programs that push us towards attaining the gender equality goal. Zimbabwe is quite worried about the issues of child marriage and how to tackle that, and how, you know, if that is not dealt with, then the country is at risk of, you know, attaining that goal. Other challenges that have been reported is the challenge of implementing and enforcing the existing laws that, you know, have been developed around gender equality. And Egypt is emphasized sort of the low participation of women in decision making as one of its challenges. But many countries actually have reported on the issue of aggregated data being available, especially in terms of employment statistics. But this is quite crucial and quite important, because then this data is supposed to inform policy making and inform program development. But if we're not aware of the data that is available in terms of different social factions and how those affect women versus men, then we're really just, you know, developing program blindly, like we're just going in blind and hoping for the best. So this is one of those areas where, you know, like I said, all our ideas, people and creative people need to sort of come together and look at how we can support governments towards, you know, making sure that this data is collected and is validated and it's available so that it informs policy making. So going on swiftly to goal 6, which is looking at clean water and sanitation. Interesting things coming out of Kenya, where they have reported that in Nairobi, they've installed like public water dispensing machines, which residents in informal settlements can access, and they can pay using mobile technology. Ghana is working with the private sector and civil society and to sort of mobilize in communities to eliminate like open defecation and then promoting hand washing. production and things like that. Egypt, on the other hand, is transforming its irrigation system into a drip system, and it's doing this in partnership with a private sector company in the country. Now, the challenges to clean water and sanitation, Kenya and Togo recording, obviously, weak data collection, insufficient human, financial and technological capacity to be able to deal with the issues and to be able to make some progress in attaining that goal. Goal 7, which is affordable and clean energy, Kenya reported that it is building the largest wind farm in Africa. This is the Lake Turkana Wind Power Consortium, and it will be providing 300 megawatts of low-cost electrical power to the country. You have countries like the Republic of Congo that implementing several priority investment programs in electricity infrastructure. Now, Ghana is implementing a Renewable Energy Act, and connected to that, Ghana is particularly looking at increasing access to clean energy in the areas of clean cooking stove and rooftop solar panels. Algeria adapted the legal framework for its energy sector, so relating to electricity, hydrocarbons, and the control of energy and renewable energies. Now, in Mauritius, very interesting things coming out of Mauritius is that it is conducting this energy efficiency labeling of all electrical appliances. It's also conducting mandatory energy audits in government buildings and energy intensive private enterprises. And it's also running a scheme that it's calling Solo Photovoltaic Rebate Scheme, which is for cooperative societies. And it is also undertaking a home solar project that's targeting about 10,000 low-income households. Now, Egypt is implementing a project that's targeting the replacement of 3.9 million streetlights and changing them to a more efficient lighting technology. So that's some of the initiatives that countries are implementing to attain the goal of affordable and clean energy. Now, obvious challenges are the high costs and the long lead time in developing energy generation projects. Burkina Faso is quite worried about, you know, land insecurity in terms of accessing land for power plant constructions. And so that's it for goal 7. We can move on to goal 8, which is decent work and economic growth. Under this goal, Kenya reported some of its initiative in the fight against youth unemployment and how it's providing vocational training opportunities. And it has also established a youth enterprise fund to empower young people to grow their own businesses. In terms of the challenges and to achieving goal 8, and Kenya also reported, you know, the effects of climate change and how that has affected the agricultural and manufacturing sector in the country, and also how the tourism sector in the country has been negatively affected by transnational crimes and global terrorism. Goal 9, which is the goal with the three I's, industry, innovation and infrastructure. We have Cabo Verde and Senegal that have provided a review on their efforts to advance their road, rail and marine transport infrastructure. And Mali is more focused on reviving its information communication technology infrastructure in the country. Namibia and Togo are also looking to move away from reliance on extractive industries, fossil fuels and primary agriculture. And Cabo Verde also reported that it is looking at and focusing on higher value added sectors such as agribusiness, green technology and manufacturing. Now, challenges in implementing the three I's under goal 9, industry, innovation and infrastructure, is obviously the capital that is involved in building and modernizing resilient infrastructure. Moving on to goal 10, which is reduced inequalities. This is also one of those goals that is quite cross-cutting. So most countries, if you look through the VNR synthesis reports, they didn't particularly address this goal because as a standalone goal, because it's more or less cross-cutting. But you have countries like Kenya who reported on their migration policy and their migration profile. And you have the Republic of Congo that has set new minimum wage standards as a way of addressing the issues of inequality. And Namibia also reported on its newly established framework, which it's using to promote access to productive assets, to capital, to land, and to skills. So that's that for goal 10, which is reduce inequalities. Goal 11, which is sustainable cities and communities. You have Kenya reporting on its mass transit system in Greater Nairobi, which is in the form of rapid transit corridors. And Kenya is also developing standard gauge rail so that it moves a lot of the freight from the road to the rail. In Mauritius, there's a lot of work going on around improving planning, land valuation, and environmental monitoring. To do this, Mauritius has established a computerized and integrated system that manages the whole process of land transaction in the country. If we're looking at the challenges that countries have reported in the review to attaining sustainable cities and communities, the biggest one is obviously the rapid population growth that most countries are experiencing, as well as the urbanization. And this is obviously putting a lot of pressure on housing availability, and is also creating, you know, rising property prices in countries like Namibia. In Kenya, the population growth is now also leading to, you know, the high cost of financing housing developments in the country. But in general, the other challenges, you know, include, you know, air pollution, increasing waste, environmental degradation, poor sanitation, traffic jams. So those are some of the challenges that countries are reporting that are keeping them away from, you know, moving forward in attaining the goal of sustainable cities and communities. So goal 12, which is responsible consumption and production. Ghana is reporting that it's promoting rooftop solar energy panels in the country. And it's also established electronic waste recycling facilities across the country. Cabo Verde has prohibited by law the import and the use of non-biodegradable plastic. Egypt is also promoting the use of biodegradable bags across the country as well. Now, challenges to attaining responsible consumption and production. South Africa really brought this point across during their review, that they would like to encourage consumers to start recycling. They would like to also implement measures to support continuous recycling behavior. And I think this is also one of those challenges where I'm also thinking now, where are our social innovators to come and advise the South African government on how they can go about this. Goal number 13, climate action. Egypt, in their review, reported about improving the energy efficiency in their transportation sector. And by doing this, they have extended the electrified underground metro, and it's moving on to access new areas in Greater Cairo. And it's also intensifying the use of environmentally sound river transport in the country. Now, the challenge for climate action, or for this goal, is obviously the lack of research into climate change and issues around that in the country. And Kenya reported this. And there's also the lack of human and technical resources to tackle these issues. And these are some of the challenges that countries are facing in trying to attain goal 13. Goal 14, which is life below water. I have to say, every time I hear this goal, I always think about that song, Under the Sea, from what Disney show it is. I can't remember what Disney show it is. Little Mermaid, that's the one. So every time I see this goal, I feel like that song should be the theme song for this goal. But anyway, Life Below Water, goal 13. Mauritius is reporting that it's implementing a 3-year community-based coral culture project where it's building the capacity of coastal communities and to rehabilitate the coral reefs in the country. Namibia is growing its deep sea fishing, and it's developed a fish processing industry, and it's been able to attract private investment for this. Some of the challenges, again, we've heard it before, is lack of data and the adoption of scientific knowledge and skills in marine resources and research and infrastructure is quite low, and Mauritius highlighted this. Goal number 15 then is on life on land, and Togo is reporting in its review that it's enhancing soil fertility with farmers trauma-filled schools, and it is doing this mostly to be able to improve the soil structure and the water retention capacity of the land in the country. Egypt, on the other hand, has outlined some capacity building programs that it is undertaking in the country, especially around the protective areas in the country. And the challenges to attaining this goal that was highlighted by Kenya is the rapid land degradation that is going on in the country. Now on to goal 16, which is peace, justice, and strong institutions. Kenya reported on the establishment of its National Human Rights and Equality Commissions, and this commission is looking to safeguard human rights and promote peace within the country. Rwanda has completely computerized its judicial system, developed an integrated electronic case management system, and what this is supposed to do is make the recording of information of judicial cases more efficient. Egypt has created a 10-year national strategy for combating illegal immigration. This is managed by the National Coordinating Committee on Combating and Preventing Illegal Immigration. Now, the challenges here abound. I mean, we're talking about the continent after all. Cybercrime, big one. Kenya is reporting, and this quite a bit, transnational and transborder crime as well. Benin raised the issue of the inability to deliver basic services, and because the main institution are quite weak in terms of human capacity. And some of the other challenges countries are tackling: corruption and the fact that countries do not have a lot of budget to enforce the anti-corruption laws that they have drawn up, and also they don't have the means to disseminate, you know, the anti-corruption laws as well. And they've also highlighted the weaknesses in the judicial systems that is preventing countries, you know, from attaining the goal of peace, justice, and strong institutions. Now on to the final goal, which is goal 17, partnership for goals. This goal is basically just looking at what countries are doing with other stakeholders to attain the rest of the 16 goals. Nigeria has put together a national action plan that is looking to promote fiscal transparency, and to do this, they are encouraging more citizenship participation in the budget-making process in the country. In Lesotho, it has developed a fiscal adjustment reform program so that it sort of stabilizes the economy of the country. Mauritania undertook a program of tax reforms. Doing this, they were able to broaden the tax base and strengthen some of the tax administration controls in the country. Now, in what countries are doing with the private sector to support the implementation of the SDGs, the United Republic of Tanzania is working on private sector financing that they would need to be able to implement the SDGs. Ghana is doing a lot of work, private sector organizations, especially around financial services for rural and peri-urban communities in the country. Rwanda, even though its private sector is quite small and predominantly micro and small, medium-sized enterprises, the government is really looking at ways to bring them into the fold as stakeholders in the SDGs, and also looking for ways to bring in foreign investment to build the private sector and leverage on the private sector financing for initiatives such as, you know, green finance and climate change finance and remittances and things like that. So in a nutshell, that is us going through all 17 sustainable development goals, and I have highlighted some of the progress that countries have reported during the voluntary national reviews. This is the initiatives that they are taking to attain the sustainable development goals. And I've also been able to share the challenges that countries have highlighted as the roadblocks to implementing these goals. And this is based off of the reviews over the last 4 years of the voluntary national reviews. So I hope that, you know, listening to this, you have been able to grasp some of the progress that has been made, especially in individual countries. And I hope that you've also been able to to understand the focus of countries in delivering the SDGs, and which SDGs, which countries are actually progressing. And like, if you look at health, for example, Rwanda is a bit, you know, quite advanced in that. I hope that sharing this information is able to, you know, influence your decision making, influence your program development, influence the way you tell stories about the SDGs, influence the way you tell stories about global development in general, influence the way you advocate for certain goals or the kind of impact that we want in the global development sector. And I hope that you would subscribe to the podcast, because we have more exciting episodes coming up, even around the SDGs. Thank you for joining us on this episode. You can follow us on the discussions around the Voluntary National Review reports, as well as on what we have shared on this podcast on our Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram page. You can also find us on our website, which is developmentdispatch.com. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.